All right, well, please join me in welcoming Kat to our stage.
Pray for some of these people, okay? Yeah, and that includes me. My name is Kat, and I'm an alcoholic. My name wasn't always Kat. I was born Mary Catherine, grew up being called Kathy, and decided in sobriety I was going to follow in the footsteps of someone else because I didn't feel like Kathy anymore. That was a person that I wasn't, and it just didn't fit anymore. So I shortened my name to Kat. I get called Pat on the phone at work. People invariably spell my name with a K. It's spelled with a C. And all those things are important to me today because they identify me as an individual. And before I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I was not an individual. I was whatever you needed me to be. I liked whatever you liked. My tastes were the same as yours, and you didn't notice, you know. I just wanted to fit in. I never intended to get drunk, but started drinking alcoholically at 18. And by that, I mean, I drank until I could drink no more. I was a blackout drinker, and I thought that everyone was, and that was just a natural course of events if you drank that much. One time in a meeting a number of years ago, it was a topic meeting. I brought up the topic of what is drunk. Because there's, you know, so many different definitions of what it is. And I was all of them one time or another. Drinking enabled me to talk to people, to dance, to feel sociable with strangers, and enabled me to go home with people after the bars were closed. I didn't drink at home as a rule. I didn't drink every day. I went 8 years without a drink. Not because I thought I was an alcoholic, but because I joined a church. And that was one of the requirements in that church, is no smoking, no drinking. So I did that because, once again, I wanted to belong. I wanted to feel a part of. Prior to coming into these rooms and listening to what you had to say, I was a lost individual. I wasn't an individual, like I said before. I was totally, absolutely lost. And this podium is going to go somewhere. I, as a joke in my home group, which is Rule 62 in Hanford, sometimes I start off sharing that I was born a rich white child in the city. And I get all kinds of groans and sighs from my friends. I didn't come, I thought, from a dysfunctional family. There wasn't arguing and fighting and hitting and drunkenness. I was an adult before I ever really saw my first drunk person. I watched my parents and other adult members of my family have a couple of drinks before dinner or wine with dinner or go to dances and have a couple of drinks. The fact that I couldn't stop at a couple of drinks was yet another thing that I couldn't do. It was not a big surprise to me. We moved around a lot. I faced the embarrassment over and over and over again of having to stand up in the front of the classroom and be introduced as the new kid in class. Like, people couldn't figure that out on their own. It was mortifying. It was done with the best of intentions, but it made me want to crawl into a hole and just disappear. I found that I knew about Alcoholics Anonymous, but I didn't have a problem with drinking. Sometimes I did, you know. Just because I slurred my words or couldn't get up out of my chair or off the bar stool and walk to the bathroom didn't mean I was drunk, you know. When I could drink no more, I thought I was drunk. I hear other people in meetings talk about other women, talk about never having to buy their own drink. Most of the time that was not the case for me. I bought my own and I bought, you know, somebody else's. And I took emotional captives. Again, I became whatever it was you needed me to become in order to keep you in my life. There were very few constant true threads in my life that did not change. One of those is the fact that I always wanted to be a mother. And I have been a mother to 3 children I gave birth to and another 50 foster children. That's what I believe God put me on this earth for. It was very hard, very rewarding, and most of the time that I had the kids, I was sober. I was dry. I wasn't sober, because I didn't have a problem. You see, I wasn't an alcoholic because I had things. You know, I had a house and a family and a car and a job and clothes. My idea of an alcoholic was the bum in the trench coat with a bottle of rot gut stuff sitting on the curb, begging for more change from people to buy the next bottle. That wasn't me, so I wasn't an alcoholic. Once again, I knew about Alcoholics Anonymous. I knew that it was for drunk people, but that wasn't me. Went through lots of relationships that proved over and over again that my picker was broken, because I picked people to take as captives that were incapable of being in a relationship just as much as I was. Drinking was my solution. Like I said, I didn't drink every day. I didn't have to have it, first thing in the morning. I didn't wake up in the middle of the night to drink. I didn't hide my alcohol. I had it in a liquor cabinet, just like what I grew up with. There was a special place for your alcohol, and it wasn't cheap. So therefore, I couldn't be an alcoholic. I went through a lot of turmoil trying to figure out where I fit. And alcohol was a thing that helped me to fit just about anywhere that I was. I can remember, I apologize for jumping around, but I can remember once when I dealt with the sponsor I've had for the majority of my sobriety, saying that I never got angry, that I'm not an angry person. And I said, I got my feelings hurt sometimes. I was disappointed, but I didn't get angry, and I didn't get mad. Because dogs get mad, people don't, ladies don't. I grew up in an environment of a lot of rules. Felt like I was in this little box being suffocated. And there were times the story was told over and over again when I was growing up about how at the age of 3, I went around after my parents had a dinner party and drained all the wine glasses. I don't remember that, but I heard it so many times that it became my story. And it pointed out to me the beginnings of my drinking. I was a very sad person, but I didn't realize that, because I smiled all the time. Only the people that I allowed to get close to me, very close, ever knew anything different. I was told that I wasn't allowed to cry. I wasn't allowed to be mad, like I said. I wasn't allowed to be angry or to argue or to fight physically. In fact, I went to a very large high school. At the time, it was the second largest school in the state of California. And I was told by my mother, if there ever was a fight, I was to go the opposite direction. So everybody else would be racing to the fight to watch, and I would go the other way. Because I was trying to be the very best person I could be, so I would get recognition. And it never worked. And finally, I asked one time why it was I never got recognition for the good behavior. You know, I didn't cut school. I thought about it, but I couldn't figure out what I would have done if I hadn't been in school. So I stayed in school. I thought about running away, but I didn't know where I would go, so I stayed home. But I was told by my parents that I was doing exactly as I was supposed to and was not going to receive recognition for doing the things I was supposed to. I would receive recognition for anything above and beyond their standards. But that was impossible. And it drove me crazy. My dad was a neurotic perfectionist. Still is. And I fought that. I didn't want to be like him. And the older I get, the more I am like him. I find it very comfortable. But it's tempered. I'm not fanatical. I'm not, as they say today, anal about it. But today I am happy. And I love life. I was talking with my sponsor. It was yesterday, I believe. And I don't talk to her every day. But I was talking to her and telling her, you know, the size of my problems today is so insignificant. You know, I got myself into some situations when I was drinking and doing other things because drinking wasn't enough. So I had to add other outside issues. Because I was angry. And it took a long time for me to face the fact that I had a lot of anger. And I've worked through that. This program has taught me how to be an individual, how to be a sober, responsible, respectable, productive member of society. Earlier today, I didn't feel so good. My stomach was upset, and all I really wanted to do was stay home and kick back. And that's what I would have done prior to sobriety. But today, I honor the commitments that I made. Even though up until 2 days ago, I had forgotten about this commitment. And I came in here tonight with no idea of what it was I was going to share. And just prior to us saying the Serenity Prayer tonight, my prayer was that whatever I said would be what God would want me to say. I have a God in my life today that I don't sit on the shelf like I used to. You know, you sit over here, God. I grew up in church, you know. But the God of my childhood was condemning and couldn't relate to the things that a little girl or a little boy struggled with. And when I was doing things that I knew down deep inside of me were wrong, I told God, you sit over here and just don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And then, if I need you, I'll let you know. And that's when the promise, you know, I promise never to do this or that or the other thing again if you'll just get me out of it this time. And unfortunately, that was a short-lived promise. Excuse me. Because I knew no other way. When I was 18, had completed high school, I had no idea about college and or what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a nurse. Because my mother was a nurse, partly. But I fought that just as much as I fought the perfection that my dad so prided himself on. To give you an example, we had moved into one house, I think I was in junior high, and it was a new house. No one else had lived in it before, and it didn't have grass or yard, and it was long before they had sod. And my dad, being the perfectionist that he is today, got out with a ruler and dichondra and clover and measured out little tiny squares of dichondra and clover and alternated it in the yard so it, when it was done, it looked like a checkerboard. And it all grew together and it was beautiful. But he worked on it. And all I wanted to do was be like my dad. I wanted, you know, except for the perfectionism. Because I beat myself up constantly because I fell short. There were a list of things not written down, not literal, but expectations in my family. And there was an order to those things. And not only did I not meet those expectations, all of them, I didn't do it in the right order. I had a child, then I got married. Because I had the child. I have said many times that I was just born 20 years too soon. Because I would have been perfectly happy to be a single mother. And I ended up being a single mother for a few years. And then my broken picker picked another person to have a relationship with, and one of our favorite activities was drinking. Yeah. it wasn't a life that made me happy. But I was punishing myself, committing suicide, if you will, one drink at a time, one drug at a time. I couldn't get it right. Whatever it was, I couldn't get it right. In my family, going to college was like, in another family, going from elementary school to junior high and junior high to high school. There was no question about if you were going to college, for instance. It's where and what are you going to study? And I was told the sole purpose for me as a girl going to college was so that, not that I could have my own career, but so that I could be well educated and talk with my future husband, you know, that was a lawyer or a doctor, talk to his partners or his business associates and have manners. And it was, I for a long time called my life growing up in a box. And one of the first gifts of sobriety that I got was the realization that I had choices. I could choose so many things, and I didn't have to do it the way that somebody else did it, you know, anything. I could do it the way I wanted to. That was the beginning of my independence, to a point. I became dependent on my sponsor, who I had early in sobriety. Now, she's not the first sponsor I had. The first people I asked to be my sponsor were people I would have partied with, not people that had a program that I wanted to emulate. Not people that had something I wanted, but people I just had fun with. And there wasn't a lick of work done. There was no 12 and 12 opened, no big book opened. And but I didn't know any better at that time. I went to meetings. I started a whole new family of people in sobriety. And today, those people are closer to me than my biological family, who I love. But I'm very different. And it's okay today to be different. Because I am an individual. God made me that way. And speaking of God, I picked my own when I got to the third step. I picked my own God, the God of my own understanding. And my God has a sense of humor. Otherwise, I wouldn't be up here. Because although I'm not afraid of speaking, you know, in front of people, and maybe it's partly because of all the times I was, I stood in front of a classroom and was introduced as the new kid on the block, I don't know. Or all the times that I had to make friends over and over again. I envy people today that have people in, you know, friends that they've had since kindergarten or lived in the same town. But probably because of this program, I have lived in my house for 21 years in December. And God took care of me and saw that I didn't lose my house when I hit my bottom. And I had a lot of bottom. You know, you'll hear in AA about people hitting their bottoms and people that go back out and they say, well they just haven't, you know, not done yet. They need to go out and do some more research. There's lots of times I could have easily fit in this room, but the time that actually did it was I was in a relationship and my partner took me to a picnic, an AA picnic in Fresno. But I was going to be just to be the very best partner I could be. Not because I needed AA or that I thought that I was an alcoholic. And they had a speaker, and this woman got up, and I couldn't tell you today what her name was or where she was from, but I identified with much of what she had to share and realized that day that I was an alcoholic. My plan prior to that day had been to go to Allen so I could be the very best partner that I could be. And after that picnic, I realized I needed AA. And AA, I have come to believe, needed me. I made it to almost a year, and that relationship ended. And being a good alcoholic, I threw all of the training, all the education, all the things, all those corny things that we hear in meetings, I threw it all away, and said, that's it. I quit. And so for 2 months, I just went on a rampage. Didn't have one drop of alcohol, but I had a lot of other stuff. And was miserable all over again. Then I came back to AA where I knew that I belonged. And this time I wasn't doing that. I wasn't coming to AA for someone else. I was doing it for me. Because I needed it. If you're new in the program, you need to be looking for a sponsor. Get a phone list. And speaking of sponsors, in my home group, at the end of our meeting, people are encouraged to raise their hand who are willing to be a sponsor. And I don't raise my hand. And my sponsor wanted to know why. So I told her, I don't have time. I do other things. I'm in service in other ways. I'm, you know, treasurer of another group. Don't do that well. God has a sense of humor. The day that I spoke up and said I'd be treasurer for that group, because I can spend money, but I don't know how to manage it, you know. But I, you know, I feel good about my choice not to be a sponsor. I have sponsored a couple of people. It didn't work out well. Didn't last long. But it kept me sober. So now I have made a promise to my Nazi sponsor. She is a Nazi. And those people who are newer in the program that have her as a sponsor will come to understand that. But I made a promise that the next time there's a call for those who want to be a sponsor, my hand will be raised. I don't know how in the world I'm going to do it. God's going to have to do it. Because I have been bound and determined that AA is not going to be everything to me. You know, I want to have a life outside of AA because I am clean and sober. I'm involved in my church and very involved in my church. I work 40 hours a week. Got 7 more years to work and then I will own my car and my house. And I can quit. And then I'm going to go do something else. Because I don't envision my life sitting at home watching television by myself. I've got plans. I've got goals. I wouldn't have been able to do that if it hadn't been for the work that God has done with me and through me, my sponsor has done, I have done, and other people, other women in the program. A long time ago, I used to call 3 women every day. And it was to get me out of me. And it was very revealing. And there's lots of things in this program that you're going to hear about that are suggestions. They're not merely suggestions. They're going to save your ass. And if you don't do them, you're going to suffer the consequences. One of my favorite things in this program today, besides all those corny sayings that I thought were corny, for sure, they saved my butt a lot of times. You know, I've changed them because I will not put myself down any longer. I am not like the rest of my biological family, and I never will be. And it's okay. Because I'm happy with who I am today. And that definitely was not the case when I was growing up. On May 28, 1996, I came back to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I have no intentions of going anywhere. And as my sponsor says, I pay my insurance policy. I go to meetings. You know, I talk to other people, sober members of Alcoholics Anonymous, who have something that I want. I used to think that just the mere fact that you had a lot of time in the program made you special. But you can have a lot of time and have nothing that I want. And be, you know, be miserable. God is constantly teaching me things, and I'm willing and honest and open to listen to those things. Right now, what God's working on me, with me, is the fact that it's none of my business what you think of me. And that's a hard one. That really is hard. Because for so many years before sobriety, that meant everything. I wanted everybody to like me. And today, I know that that's not possible for everyone, you know, to like me. But today, I like myself. And I wouldn't have anything to be thankful for or grateful for if it wasn't for Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Kat. I am an alcoholic. Thank you.